Are financial markets emerging from a hungry winter?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. With all the financial and credit trouble, the private equity markets have been, well, they've been frozen. But this morning, the Wall Street Journal reports packaged food giant Pinnacle Brands is getting ready to buy Birds Eye Foods for more than $1.3 billion. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joins us live from our New York bureau to talk about the deal. Good morning.
Good morning.
Remind us who the frozen players are.
Birds Eye is the biggest frozen vegetable company in the U.S. It controls about 25% of the market, and it also makes frozen meals. So if you shop at Walmart or Safeway or any of the other big supermarkets, you've probably seen their stuff. That all makes it a good fit with Pinnacle. Pinnacle owns Swanson, the frozen dinner company. It also makes other packaged foods. So Duncan Hines cake mixes and Mrs. Butterworth's pancake syrup all are Pinnacles. Both companies are owned by private equity firms. Vestar Capital Partners owns Birds Eye and Blackstone owns Pinnacle.
Yeah, and that's the intriguing part, right? The private equity element.
Exactly. There are a couple of things here. First of all, there hasn't been a whole lot of buying action from private equity lately. So assuming this deal goes through, it would suggest that private equity is starting to get a little bit more willing than it has been to make deals. Birds Eye also has about $700 million in debt. Last month, it actually filed with the SEC saying it wanted to launch an IPO to raise money to pay down that debt. So if it gets bought, it wouldn't have to worry about that. Finally, we don't know the particulars of this deal yet, but it does seem like Pinnacle's probably borrowing money to buy Birds Eye. And if that's true, it suggests the credit market is finally starting to thaw, which would, of course, be a good thing for the economy.
From our New York bureau, that's Marketplace's Elisa Roth joining us live. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The French food company Danone has cut its sales forecast this morning, and European stocks are a bit lean. They're about 0.5% lower this morning overall. Asian markets were mixed today. Japan's biggest bank said it's still looking to raise $11 billion to shore up its balance sheet. That sounds a little scary. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P 500 was flat, the NASDAQ was off 0.5%, and the Dow gave up 11 points. It closed at 10,426. Sears reported earnings a few minutes ago. The owner of Sears and Kmart stores lost $127 million, second down quarter in a row. Today, labor leaders in Sweden are pressing Chinese carmaker Geely to say where it's getting the financing for its bid to buy Volvo from Ford. The union is said to be concerned that the $2 billion deal is being backed by the Chinese government, and it worries about what that could mean for Swedish jobs. Marketplace's Christopher Wirth has that.
Public opinion in Sweden over the sale of Volvo is divided. Geely is one of China's largest automakers, and many fear that Volvo's precious safety technology will simply be exported to Asia, leaving factories in Sweden sitting empty. But Håkan Mattsson of Sweden's paper The Daily Industry says instead of viewing the deal as a smash and grab, Swedes should see Geely as a way for Volvo to break into emerging markets.
We have to be honest in Sweden, too, and understand that it's been on sale since December last year. And no other manufacturer than the Chinese has shown interest. And Ford has really stated that they're going to sell the company. It's not like the situation with General Motors and Opel that they changed their mind.
Mattsson says that while Geely will be forking over less than a third of what Ford paid for Volvo 10 years ago, Ford has gained more than it's lost. He says all of Ford's top models use Volvo technology. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This week brought more evidence that, for now, inflation is a tame beast. Both wholesale and consumer prices rose a little bit, but they're still below where they were a year ago. And yet, every time Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke speaks, as he did again this week, his listeners want to know when inflation will finally blow in. Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell says it's an overblown fear. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
Maybe we're not hearing the footsteps yet, but isn't the inflation zombie going to get us?
Oh, most people on Wall Street seem to believe that. There's this enormous fear with the Fed keeping interest rates low and this giant fiscal budget deficit we have that inflation looms. But you know, Bill, it reminds me of the story of the boy who keeps snapping his fingers. Have you heard this one?
No, tell me.
All right, so there's a young boy. keeps snapping his fingers. His parents, they take him to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Why do you keep snapping your fingers?" And the boy says, "To keep the snakes away." And the doctor looks at him and says, "But there are no snakes here." "Ah," says the boy, "that's because I keep snapping my fingers.
So it's a mirage.
It's a mirage. You keep hearing about inflation. So what I do is I look at Treasury inflation-protected securities. This is debt sold by the U.S. government, and it's a hedge against inflation. And when you look at TIPS, that's what they're called, what is the inflation rate that the TIPS market is predicting? 2% or so. That's not runaway inflation. So I don't see it.
What about those rising assets that seem like maybe warning signals? Commodities have been rising, and, you know, oil and grains.
You know, Bill, you can always make a scenario that inflation is around the corner. And you're absolutely right. The price of gold seems to be signaling some problems down the road. And we have the value of the dollar is lower. And that's why Wall Street is obsessing about inflation. But I wanted to just say something. We have an unemployment rate that's over 10%. If you look at our broadest measure of unemployment, it's at 17%. This does not make for an inflationary environment.
And, of course, this is all about how much leeway the Fed has, and you're telling those central bankers, keep up the stimulating and the low rates?
Keep up the stimulating, keep up the low rates. What do central bankers worry about? Inflation, inflation, inflation. It's the unexpected thing we should worry about, not inflation. I don't think it's going to be a problem in a highly competitive global economy.
Marketplace's economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, New York's H&H bagels are iconic. They're in Woody Allen movies and Seinfeld and Sex and the City. Now the bagel maker's founder is accused of tax fraud. The New York Post reports if convicted, Helmer Toro would have to pay a lot of dough, causing a $1 million hole in the middle of his finances. He would also face more than a baker's dozen years in prison, although some wonder whether it's just a schmear campaign. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.